Lee River's Little Liar has captivated readers with its unflinching exploration of trauma, obsession, and forbidden desire. This psychological thriller, which follows the disturbing relationship between adopted siblings Malachi and Olivia, has become a social media sensation, particularly on BookTok, where readers debate the moral complexities of its characters. The novel's unflinching portrayal of childhood trauma and its lasting psychological effects has earned praise from mental health professionals, despite, or perhaps because of, its controversial subject matter. Rivers, who balances her writing career with her work as a biomedical scientist, has created a story that forces readers to confront uncomfortable questions about the nature of love, family, and the lasting impact of childhood trauma. What happens when the person who feels like home is the one person you're forbidden to love? And how do early experiences shape our understanding of love and desire? Malachi's story begins in unimaginable horror. At just 4 years old, he witnesses his mother's overdose death while being tormented by intruders who destroy his beloved pet spider, his last connection to his absent father. This devastating experience locks his voice away, leaving him unable to speak as he counts silently in his head to escape his reality. For the next 4 years, he bounces through 5 foster homes, rejected repeatedly for his inability to communicate verbally. The depth of Malachi's trauma manifests not just in his selective mutism, but in his desperate need for connection. When he's finally placed with the Vise family on his 8th birthday, 7-year-old Olivia's immediate warmth and acceptance stuns him. Her willingness to learn sign language to communicate with him represents the first genuine connection he's experienced since losing everything. This early bond forms the foundation of their relationship, with Malachi thinking possessively, "She's mine," a thought that foreshadows the unhealthy attachment that will develop. What makes Malachi's character so compelling is how his trauma shapes his understanding of love and connection. Having lost everyone he cared about, he clings to Olivia with an intensity that blurs appropriate boundaries. His inability to speak becomes symbolic of his inability to process his emotions in healthy ways. Instead, his feelings manifest in increasingly possessive and disturbing behaviors as he grows older. By age 12, Malachi's protective instincts toward Olivia have already turned violent. He attacks 3 boys who harassed her at school with such ferocity that his adoptive father increases his therapy sessions. This pattern of protection through violence becomes a defining characteristic of their relationship, with Malachi willing to cross any line to keep Olivia safe and close to him. As Malachi and Olivia mature, their adoptive sibling relationship becomes increasingly complicated by inappropriate emotional attachments. At 17, Malachi experiences severe confusion about familial boundaries, attempting to legally dissolve his adoption status to pursue a romantic relationship, a clear indication of serious psychological disturbance. The deterioration of appropriate sibling dynamics occurs gradually through a series of concerning behavioral patterns. Initially manifesting as excessive caregiving during times of illness, these interactions reveal Malachi's developing inability to maintain proper familial boundaries. Their childhood living arrangements and comfort-seeking behaviors, while innocent in origin, eventually contribute to more problematic dynamics. By 19, Malachi exhibits increasingly concerning behavior patterns. During a family vacation, he demonstrates severe boundary violations and controlling behaviors, disregarding both societal norms and Olivia's expressed discomfort. His reaction to rejection manifests in physically aggressive ways, indicating a dangerous progression in his psychological state. The situation escalates to severe violations of consent and trust, including non-consensual photography during vulnerable moments. His rationalization of these actions demonstrates significant cognitive distortions regarding relationships and attachment. When Olivia later initiates innocent interactions, unaware of previous violations, Malachi misinterprets this as validation rather than recognizing his serious breaches of trust. This case study illustrates how early trauma can fundamentally alter one's understanding of relationships and attachment. For Malachi, the concepts of familial love become harmfully entangled with possessive behaviors, highlighting the critical importance of maintaining clear boundaries in family relationships. Behind Malachi and Olivia's disturbing relationship lies a deeply dysfunctional family system that enables and even encourages inappropriate dynamics. Their mother, Jennifer, emerges as a particularly sinister figure who grooms Olivia for arranged marriages, forcing her to sleep with older men like Parker and Adam while warning her never to tell her father or Malachi. This revelation adds another layer of complexity to Olivia's character. The night she lost her virginity to Parker at her mother's arrangement, Malachi unknowingly held heat packs to her body while she silently suffered, unable to share her pain. This creates a devastating parallel. Both siblings harbor secrets that isolate them from others while drawing them closer to each other in unhealthy ways. The parents' failure to establish and maintain appropriate boundaries contributes directly to the siblings' inappropriate relationship. When Malachi's father discovers his son's feelings for Olivia, he increases therapy sessions but fails to address the underlying issues or create separation between them. Meanwhile, their mother's manipulation of Olivia for financial gain, eventually revealed to include selling her to the Reznikov family for $11 million, demonstrates how thoroughly she's commodified her daughter. During a confrontation in her office, Jennifer insists Olivia fulfill her duty by marrying Xander despite his threats. When Olivia refuses, Jennifer reveals she's infertile and that her husband initially didn't want to adopt but did so to make her happy. This revelation forces Olivia to question whether her mother's manipulation intentionally pushed her closer to Malachi, creating a horrifying possibility that their inappropriate relationship might have been part of some larger design. The family dysfunction extends beyond the immediate household. The Reznikov family represents another system of control and exploitation, with Igor willing to impregnate Olivia himself if his son Xander fails to do so. The implantation of a tracker in Olivia's arm that will detonate if she tries to escape represents the ultimate form of control. Her body literally becomes a prison. For Malachi, who cannot speak to most people, violence becomes his primary language of protection and expression. His selective mutism, speaking only to Olivia and eventually his therapist, Dr. Chen, forces him to find alternative ways to communicate his thoughts and feelings, often manifesting through calculated physical aggression. This condition stems from childhood trauma, leaving him with an inability to verbally connect with others, yet paradoxically gifting him with an intense awareness of physical threats and body language. The progression of his violent tendencies follows a clear pattern of escalation. When he first discovers boys harassing Olivia at school, he attacks them without hesitation or mercy, breaking one boy's arm and another's nose. The violence intensifies when he learns about Parker and his friend's planned assault on Olivia at the homecoming party. In this instance, Malachi's response is methodical and brutal. He systematically breaks Parker's fingers one by one, fractures his jaw, and leaves three others with severe injuries requiring hospitalization. This pattern culminates in the novel's most intense sequence. When Olivia is kidnapped by Marcus Wheeler, Malachi's response reveals the full extent of his capacity for violence. He tracks Wheeler to an abandoned warehouse and, without hesitation or remorse, repeatedly stabs him in the neck and eye with a screwdriver, turning the tool into a weapon of savage retribution. The later revelation that he's buried other bodies in his yard, including two former stalkers of his mother and a neighbor who abused dogs, confirms that killing has become his instinctive solution to perceived threats against those he loves. What's particularly striking is how Malachi's violence contrasts with his tender treatment of Olivia. He demonstrates an almost supernatural ability to compartmentalize, shifting from brutal murder to gentle caresses within moments. This duality manifests most powerfully after Wheeler's murder, when he carefully frees Olivia from her restraints with blood-covered hands, yet touches her with incredible gentleness. Their embrace in that moment, with Wheeler's blood still wet on their clothes, becomes a powerful symbol of their unique bond, one forged in darkness but sustained by genuine love. Malachi's father, James, appears to understand this complex aspect of his son's nature. When he helps Malachi dispose of Wheeler's body in the dead of night, his words, "This needs to be the last one," carry both acceptance and warning. This tacit understanding, along with the revelation that James has helped cover up previous incidents, suggests he recognizes that his son's trauma has fundamentally altered his moral compass. Yet his intervention also indicates an attempt to prevent Malachi's protective instincts from completely consuming him. The novel presents Malachi's violence not as simple brutality, but as a complex language born of trauma and love, a dark vocabulary of protection that both saves and damns him. His actions raise uncomfortable questions about the nature of justice, protection, and the limits of acceptable behavior in the name of love. The central tension in Malachi and Olivia's relationship revolves around possession and protection, two concepts that become dangerously intertwined. For Malachi, protecting Olivia justifies possessing her completely. When he discovers she's been intimate with others, specifically Adam, whom their mother forced her to sleep with, he experiences jealous rage but restrains himself from confrontation. His possessiveness manifests in surveillance cameras, tracking devices in her phone, and his constant monitoring of her activities. This possessiveness reaches its peak when Malachi refuses to let Olivia leave their home, clinging to her desperately while she prepares for work. His arms tight around her waist as she applies makeup, he fears she won't return if allowed to leave. This behavior stems from his childhood abandonment. Having lost everyone he cared about, he cannot bear the thought of losing Olivia too. Yet, paradoxically, Malachi's possessiveness is matched by his willingness to sacrifice himself for Olivia's protection. When the Reznikovs attack their home, he fights through a stab wound to protect Molly, only to be shot in the chest while trying to save Olivia and their father. His protection extends beyond physical defense. He's determined to give Olivia whatever she needs, even attempting to overcome his possessiveness when she asks for more normalcy in their relationship. For Olivia, the dynamic is equally complex. Despite recognizing the taboo nature of their relationship and Malachi's concerning behavior, she remains drawn to him. The forbidden aspect even excites them both, especially when she calls him "my big brother" during intimate moments. This deliberate acknowledgement of their sibling relationship during sexual encounters reveals how thoroughly they've embraced the transgressive nature of their connection. As the story progresses, questions emerge about whether Malachi and Olivia can break free from their traumatic pasts, or whether they're doomed to perpetuate cycles of dysfunction. Their escape from the Reznikov family represents a physical liberation, but their psychological freedom remains uncertain, a struggle made more complex by the deep-rooted nature of their shared trauma and the intensity of their connection. The aftermath of their escape reveals the challenging path toward healing. Initially, both struggle with hypervigilance and trust issues, Malachi obsessively checking locks and security systems, while Olivia battles nightmares about their former captors. Their journey toward recovery isn't linear. They face setbacks and moments of crisis when past trauma resurfaces, particularly during Olivia's pregnancy with Isaac. The epilogues, set 3 and 12 years later, offer compelling glimpses of potential healing. 3 years after their escape, Malachi and Olivia have built a new life together with their son Isaac in a modest but secure home in Vermont. Though not legally married, since their adoptions were never reversed, they wear matching platinum bands and have established their own version of family normalcy. Malachi has found purpose in fatherhood, with Isaac becoming his number one priority, where Olivia once occupied his entire world. A significant evolution for someone whose attachment style was previously marked by intense fixation. This shift suggests meaningful personal growth. Malachi's obsessive focus has expanded beyond Olivia to include their son, allowing for a healthier family dynamic. His employment at an animal sanctuary indicates he's found constructive outlets for his care and attention, channeling his protective instincts into positive work with vulnerable creatures. Meanwhile, their father has remained in their lives, meeting twice weekly with Malachi and Isaac at the park. These carefully structured visits suggest a delicate balance between maintaining family connections and establishing healthy boundaries. The final epilogue, set 12 years after their escape, shows them attending a charity event for rare genetic diseases, having donated $200,000, a gesture that demonstrates both their financial success and desire to help others affected by genetic conditions like theirs. Their 14-year-old son Isaac has grown up without the trauma and aggression that define Malachi's early life, suggesting they've succeeded in breaking at least some cycles of intergenerational pain. They've created a stable home environment, prioritizing therapy and open communication to ensure Isaac doesn't inherit their emotional burdens. Yet subtle signs suggest complete liberation from their past remains elusive. When Isaac confidently approaches a girl at the event, despite her father's objections, declaring, "I don't need luck, I'm a Vez," echoes of Malachi's determination and disregard for boundaries remain. A reminder that while trauma's sharp edges may dull over time, its influence can persist in unexpected ways across generations. This moment encapsulates the complex reality of healing. Progress is possible, but the shadows of the past are never fully erased. Throughout the novel, Rivers refuses to provide easy moral judgments about Malachi and Olivia's relationship. Though their romantic and sexual connection as adopted siblings clearly violates social taboos, the narrative presents complex factors that blur ethical lines without excusing harmful behaviors. The author masterfully weaves together themes of trauma, consent, and familial bonds in ways that challenge readers' preconceptions about morality and desire. Both characters experience severe trauma before and during their time as siblings. Malachi's childhood trauma, witnessing his mother's murder at age 6 and spending 2 years in foster care, left him with selective mutism and an inability to form healthy attachments. His tendency to dissociate during moments of stress and his obsessive need to control his environment stem directly from these early experiences. Meanwhile, Olivia suffered sexual exploitation arranged by her own mother, including being sold to wealthy men from age 13 to 15. These experiences fundamentally shape their understanding of love, intimacy, and family, creating distorted templates for relationships. The novel raises uncomfortable questions that resist simple resolution. To what extent are they responsible for their desires when their formative experiences were so profoundly distorted? The text suggests that while trauma explains their actions, it doesn't necessarily excuse them. Does their lack of biological relation mitigate the taboo of their relationship? Rivers forces readers to confront how society's definitions of family affect our moral judgments. How should we judge Malachi's violations of consent, particularly the incident in the boathouse, against the backdrop of his psychological damage? His actions exist in a murky space between compulsion and choice. Rivers offers no simple answers, instead presenting characters operating in moral gray areas, making choices that are simultaneously understandable given their histories and deeply troubling in their implications. This moral ambiguity extends to supporting characters as well. Their father, David, helps dispose of a body to protect his children, demonstrating how love can lead even fundamentally good people to commit terrible acts. Adrix Reznikoff betrays his own family to help Olivia escape, choosing individual conscience over clan loyalty. Even minor characters face complex moral decisions. The family housekeeper who witnesses abuse but stays silent. The priest who breaks confession to prevent a suicide. The author particularly excels at showing how trauma creates ripple effects across generations and relationships. Through flashbacks to David and Catherine's early marriage, we see how their own unresolved issues influence their adopted children's development. The novel suggests that moral clarity becomes impossible when every action is filtered through layers of past harm and desperate attempts at healing. Despite its dark themes, Little Liar ultimately offers a powerful narrative of redemption through genuine connection. For Malachi, who spent his formative years shrouded in silence and isolation, finding someone who would take the time to learn sign language to communicate with him represented more than just companionship. It was a lifeline to the world. Though his attachment to Olivia eventually becomes unhealthy and obsessive, manifesting in possessive behaviors and jealous outbursts, it also saves him from complete psychological dissolution, providing an anchor when his mind threatens to spiral into darkness. Similarly, for Olivia, Malachi represents a rare constant in a life dominated by her mother's calculated manipulation and emotional abuse. When she confides that Parker isn't nice at all after being introduced to him as a potential suitor, Malachi's fierce protective response offers the security her parents catastrophically failed to provide. Their relationship, for all its dysfunction and codependency, creates a fortress of mutual protection against external threats, from Parker's predatory advances to Mrs. Thorne's psychological warfare. The intricate rescue operation to free Olivia from the Reznikovs demonstrates how their connection ripples outward, creating unexpected alliances. Their father, despite years of emotional distance, risks everything to help. Molly, initially skeptical of their relationship, becomes their strongest advocate. Even unlikely allies like Adrix Reznikov, with his own complicated moral compass, and Sebastian Prince, motivated by a mixture of guilt and redemption, come together to save her. They form a makeshift family united by genuine care rather than biological ties or legal documents, proving that chosen families can be stronger than those we're born into. In the epilogues, this redemptive connection flourishes and expands to include their son Isaac, transforming their dyad into a healing trinity. Malachi, who once struggled to speak to anyone but Olivia, now communicates not only with Isaac, but also with Molly, their father, and even occasional strangers when necessary. When Isaac experiences nightmares, perhaps inherited trauma manifesting in the next generation, Malachi sleeps beside him, his son becoming his best friend and number one reason for living. This gradual expansion of Malachi's emotional world suggests that healing is possible even after profound trauma, and that love, while sometimes twisted by pain, can ultimately straighten into something beautiful and nurturing. The novel's resolution emphasizes that true redemption often comes not through individual transformation, but through the healing power of genuine connection. Their story demonstrates how even damaged people can create something whole together, finding home not in a place, but in each other's understanding and acceptance. Perhaps the most poignant theme throughout Little Liar is the power of communication beyond conventional language. Malachi's selective mutism, a condition that emerged after witnessing his mother's death, forces those who love him to find alternative ways to connect. This manifests primarily through sign language, but also through touch, presence, shared understanding, and the countless subtle ways humans bridge the gap when words fail. When 7-year-old Olivia immediately shows interest in learning sign language to communicate with Malachi, she offers him dignity and recognition that others had denied. Her determination to master ASL, spending hours practicing finger spellings and basic signs, demonstrates an emotional intelligence far beyond her years. This early connection forms the foundation of their unshakable bond, as Olivia becomes the first person outside his immediate family to truly hear him. The depth of their nonverbal communication evolves throughout the novel. During their teenage years, they develop an intricate system of subtle gestures and expressions that only they understand. A raised eyebrow that means careful, a specific tap pattern that signals danger, a gentle squeeze of hands that conveys, I'm here. Years later, when Molly signs perfectly to him, You saved me. Now you need to save my sister. She acknowledges both his sacrifice and his capability, despite his inability to speak to her verbally. This moment highlights how Malachi's silence has never diminished his strength or agency. Even in their most intimate moments, Malachi and Olivia often communicate without words. After her rescue from the Reznikovs, as Barry removes the tracker from her arm, Olivia grips Malachi's hand under the table while crying against his shoulder. The weight of shared trauma and survival passes between them without a single word or sign. Their physical presence becomes its own language, one built on years of trust, understanding, and unwavering support. The power of nonverbal communication reaches its crescendo in the final scene. When Olivia asks where they'll go now that they're free, Malachi simply signs home, a single word that encompasses everything they fought for: safety, belonging, and the freedom to define family on their own terms. This moment encapsulates the novel's central message that home isn't necessarily defined by blood relations or legal documents, but by the people who choose to understand us completely, even in our silence. Their relationship proves that the most profound connections often transcend traditional language, residing instead in the quiet spaces between words where true understanding lives.